Good day. Welcome to another edition of the Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. Today we're being joined by Rowan County Sheriff Matt Sparks and Chief Deputy Joe Klein. Today's topic, the legalization of marijuana, and it's been legalized, I think, in 29 states, some for medicinal purposes, some for recreational purposes, some for both. And I know that you gentlemen both have very strong feelings on this issue. And Sheriff Sparks, I'll start with you, then I'll go to you, Joe.
Yes, Chuck, we do. You notice, in fact, we were talking before we came on air there, that you see this push for legalization of marijuana. It's not coming from your medical field. It's not coming from doctors. It's coming from politicians. And so that's always the first red flag to me, is you don't see the medical community waving and saying, hey, what valuable asset this is, or how it's going to help. But it's the politicians out in front waving this flag. So that's concern number one for me. Secondly, you know, I read a quote recently especially when it comes to the medical part of it, that says something along the lines that, you know, we use morphine. Some people use morphine on a daily basis, but a derivative of opium, of course, but we're not smoking the opium to get that morphine. You know, so that's the same thing with this marijuana issue and the medical part. In today's world, you can't tell me that it's not – that we couldn't extract the needed chemicals, the needed medical value from the marijuana, and not issue people, you know, a 4-ounce bag of weed and tell them to smoke a joint a day or two a day or however, when you have absolutely no control over the dosage units that particular way.
Joe?
Yeah, I mean, I agree 100% with the sheriff. And, you know, when we first heard this, the bills, and this isn't the first year that bills have been filed. It's been filed in the past, and it's not went anywhere. Of course, as time goes on, it seems like more momentum gets behind these bills. And we just want to make sure our community, our public, is aware. We hear the touting of how much money's being made in these other states, and they're showing those cardboard checks and, you know, so many millions of dollars being brought in. But they're showing you one side, but they're not showing you the backside, that we, in training with other law enforcement officers that are from these states, are saying, listen, it's caused us a whole lot of problems, a whole lot of issues. It's caused work-related injuries. It's caused more traffic collisions. And there's a medical side over here that nobody wants to really talk about, what's being as a result of whether it's medical and or recreational. We've talked about the sheriff's office, and Sheriff and I agree. If they can take from the oils or from the what's in the marijuana and put it into a liquid form or a pill form and let it be regulated through pharmaceutical and be prescribed by doctors and handled just like any other medical you know, any pill or some type of dosage that they can take, what you're running into is, I mean, do you give somebody a prescription to go to a marijuana shop and for an example, smoke two joints daily as needed? You know, where's the regulation on this? And it just opens the door for the illegal part of it to just take over, basically.
Joe, you told me something on the phone the other day, and Matt, I'll let you chime in after Joe finishes, about the fact that marijuana is not what it was back in the 60s and 70s. It's totally different in terms of its THC content, which is the hallucinogen.
Yes, that's correct. And you know, I've talked to what I believe is an expert in this field and somebody that's worked in it for years. And, you know, when all of us think about marijuana, we think about the 60s and 70s, the pot craze and, you know, people smoking it and things. We're talking about a THC level at that time. If you found some really good, what they call good stuff, you were probably talking about a THC level of a 0.3, 0.4, and they consider that good stuff. We're talking about THC levels today in the 30s. We're talking about 30 to 35, which is causing people to hallucinate. The old saying, you can't overdose on marijuana. People are overdosing, having medical issues over this type of grade of marijuana that's being put out there today, and especially the medical marijuana that's so high in this THC.
Matt?
Yeah, I agree with Joe 100%. And that's one of the problems we're facing today in our state and even in this country, I think, is this – this kind of lax attitude. I don't know how many parents I'll talk to in the last 4 or 5 years or so. Well, you know, yeah, my teenager smoked a little dope every now and then. You know, Matt, I smoked dope when I was in college. I turned out okay. I didn't turn out to be a drug addict. So you get this kind of lax attitude because so many people of even our generation smoke weed as a young adult, and they turned out fine. They become professionals or whatever the case. So, but like it or not, Chuck, regardless of the naysayers, marijuana is still and will always be a gateway drug. No, I'm not here to say that everybody smokes a joint is turns into a drug addict. But yet, in 32 years of putting on a police uniform, I've yet to talk to a heroin addict or to a pill addict or any other person that's struggling with addiction. When you ask them what was the first illegal drug you used, to the number will tell you, I started smoking weed. And so that's kind of the battle we're facing is you have this kind of lax attitude. People think, yeah, I smoke a little weed. And as Joe was saying, it's not the same marijuana from the 70s and 80s. It's much more potent. It's much stronger. It's not the weed that they smoked as teenagers.
Why is it so more powerful? Is it because people have become better at growing it and they've refined the process?
I think that is the case. Yeah, they've just got, you know, the people in the field over the years know, hey, that's where the money is. So yes, they've just become better, you know, through the process of doing it for years, I guess, found to get more money for the buck, I guess.
You also hear, for instance, about professional athletes talking about, oh, you know, after a game they go home and they smoke a joint, for instance, and it's become, a lot more romanticized. That
sure.
It's become more mainstream. Well, yeah, you know, all these Hollywood people, they do it, and all these professional athletes
sure.
are doing it now, and, you know, the major professional sports leagues are not really cracking down that hard on it. They sort of know what's going on. They kind of wink and look the other way. And, I mean, I can't believe that helps your efforts at all either.
Exactly. Any time that, and that's just kind of that national push that, like I said, that lacks, you know, even state laws changed a couple of years ago, I believe, to where, you know, even a small amount of marijuana is no longer a arrestable offense. It's citation only. So, again, the laws have become a little lax on marijuana. And that is just that public perception. And I think that's a combination of several things. Again, that's people's attitude, thinking, hey, not that bad a drug compared to all this other stuff we're seeing across the country. But that's that Trojan horse. And the same way with this medical marijuana issue is that with that being the case, it's not just the marijuana issue, but what that may lead to and what else is coming. What we were talking about in the 30s number of states, seemed like every state to the number who's started with medical marijuana, a bill not far behind that is for recreational marijuana. It seems to always follow. Another thing I'd ask our listeners to check into, don't take my word for it, look at the money behind some of this push. Who's the money behind? I've read an article recently. I know you can't believe everything you read on the internet, but that the law firm of Morgan & Morgan, who have offices in Lexington, and I guess maybe I don't know the guy personally, but he's from the Florida area. I read something recently. He put up to $10 million in the legalization effort to legalize medical marijuana in Florida. Why? You know, that's the question to ask. Look where the money trail is. Who is put – again, it's not the American Medical Association. It's not doctors standing up and saying, hey, we need medical marijuana. There's great health benefit. And I know firsthand, when you see those testimonials from people, especially young kids, hey, this is the only thing that stopped my kids' seizures, you know, that tugs at your heartstrings. And I'm all for helping people, but there's got to be a better way than just saying, hey, smoke a joint a day is going to help your problems.
Yeah, and you look at some of the bills that are right now before the Kentucky legislature, I'm surprised at the number of bills. It used to be one that would pop up every now and then. I guess there's a handful of them now that are looking either recreational or medicinal use of marijuana or possibly both. And I'm wondering why things have changed in Kentucky, which has been traditionally a more conservative state when you talk about any kind of drug use. And now you've got people on both sides of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans,
yeah,
who are talking about the legalization of marijuana here in the Commonwealth.
That's right.
Chuck, I'm smiling as you're saying that, but it has to be money. everybody's looking at the big money end of it. We can bring in money. You know, not long ago it was gambling, you know, expanded gambling to bring more money and bring more revenues in. But, you know, we can get caught up in this dollar figure here on one side of it. It's almost like the pea and the nut trick where you watch this hand, but this hand over here is doing something totally different. And we need people informed, and I hope people, and this is what this is to get information out there. They're hearing just one side of this. It's somewhat frustrating at times that, you know, politicians won't talk to the people on the front lines that's out here fighting the fight on the front lines of what we're battling, as Sheriff Sparks said. I don't know how many addicts I've talked to. We interact with them just about on a daily basis. And when we get in a conversation, how did you start this? And just about every one of them said that marijuana was involved. Alcohol, marijuana, alcohol, it's interchangeable. That's how they got started on this. And it's gradually processed into like heroin and meth. And as the sheriff said, it's not everybody. There's everybody that smoked it in the past. What we're saying is don't give somebody a legal right to smoke dope. If the medical field has determined that there are some ways that some of the extracts from marijuana can help somebody medically, let's do it in a regulated basis. Let's do it through a pharmaceutical company. Let's do it and let it be administered through doctors and pharmacists, not through pot shops out here on the street, which just, like, again, it opens that door wide open for illegal activity.
You're kind of in a catch-22 situation in a way because, as you mentioned, Matt, you don't arrest somebody who has maybe a dime bag in their pocket. You write them a citation. They go to court. They might get a fine, whatever. And it used to be if you got arrested with that kind of stuff, you're going to jail.
Right.
And, of course, now we've got an overpopulation problem with our jails and prisons here in the state. And it's all over the country. It's not just Kentucky. So they're trying to find ways to keep people from going behind bars. And so while you're trying to do a good thing there, it's also creating another problem, isn't it?
Oh, yes, certainly. And that's what you see any time you – and I understand that. You know, there again, it's about money. I know that it costs our taxpayers, myself being a taxpayer, to incarcerate people. You know, the numbers we spend on incarceration in this country is staggering, and I understand that. And I know that every time somebody – picks up a joint, you don't want to see that person go to jail and sit in jail for months. But I think when you lax that penalty of taking that arrest away and you simply fine them like you would for a speeding ticket, then that kind of sends the wrong message. And that, I think that's why you're seeing a lot of these other – you talked about earlier about so many people both sides of the aisle now kind of supporting this issue. You know, something that I can't – and while we're talking about that, it's kind of amazing to me that some of these elected officials who are on both sides of the aisle, Democrat and Republican alike, who are pushing this now, that, you know, if I when I seen Alison Grimes come out, you know, she's kind of one of the, I guess,
Secretary of State. Yeah, sure. That surprised me.
Yeah, you know, I see her come out for that, and I think, you know, if I'm, as a police officer, if I'm going to suggest some kind of legislative change to do anything with elections or something that would fall under Alison's umbrella, I'm going to pick up the phone and call Alison and say, hey, what do you think about changing this in election? Because I know that's her expertise. So either she, and I don't mean to pick on her, I'm just singling her because usually as a Secretary of State, not sure why she began to kind of get on that bandwagon anyway. But my point being, either she did, or, and even Senator West in our area who covers this area, did they not contact law enforcement, or did they contact law enforcement and just totally ignore our feelings, or not, and it's more about feelings, our opinions, I guess, because the Kentucky Sheriff's Association, the Kentucky Chiefs of Police Association, the Kentucky State Police, all are strongly opposed to legalization of marijuana in any form. Again, not you find that way to extract what's needed medically. Nobody wants to think that someone medically fragile, that something from a marijuana plant may help that person. Hey, I'm all about wherever you can get that from. But again, not when it's not a dosage unit that you control, not by smoking weed.
I will say this too, and I've said this to a lot of people, the FDA will never approve something that you have to smoke. It doesn't matter what you're smoking because it's not good for your lungs.
Exactly.
It's true.
So,
right.
I mean, that's the bottom line there. So if people are saying, well, the FDA will eventually approve it, not in the form where it has to be smoked.
I agree.
Just not going to happen. So the one thing I was wondering, we talked about citing people who have maybe small amounts of marijuana in their possession. Do you, you don't put them behind bars, but maybe do you raise the fines that they face?
All right. Well, you know, I think, again, it's just one I feel confident that I represent most law enforcement officers I've talked with feel the way. I think you still arrest them. Again, I'm not saying you put somebody in jail for a week or for a month because they've got a small amount of weed, but I think they still need to be – it's the doors need to be shut behind them, even if it's just a matter of a few hours. If it's just overnight, something so that kind of gets their attention that this is illegal, it's more serious than getting a speeding ticket. So anytime you talk about – yeah, my second option would be, as you said, increase that fine so the fines are really – you know, that you get that fine, it's not something that's going to be the equivalent of a speeding ticket.
Well, I'll ask you guys this because you're out in the field every day working with this stuff. And, of course, everyone knows a lot about Operation Row and Roundup, which has been an anti-drug initiative that's been running now. It's into its eighth year.
Sure.
What are you seeing in terms of pot use and the problems that you're having with people who use marijuana?
It's the same, and the same I think that's been going on for centuries is that you – and I tell – and I mentioned earlier about talking to parents, and parents say, you know, yeah, I caught my 16-year-old, had a bag of dope in the room the other day. And almost to the point where they're laughing and say, well, if that's the worst he does, you know, I'll be okay. And I'll quickly point out, do you think the person who's selling your 15-year-old a bag of weed won't sell him pills, won't sell him meth, won't sell him heroin? Drug dealers are in the business of making money. So these same guys that are, you look recently in our county, you know, just last week we made the arrest of over 10 pounds of medical marijuana came from the California area, came into our county, into our community. They weren't dealing just in marijuana. They had 1,000 Xanax pills. So that's what you see. So yeah, anytime you're dealing with marijuana, they run hand in hand with other drugs.
Well, these guys are salesmen.
Exactly.
Our saleswomen. Right. You know, say, hey, you know what? You really like this stuff. You're really going to like that stuff.
Yeah. Exactly right.
And it's just – and it's very potent. It's – you know, we're seeing it out here from, like you said, from the onset of this roundup that we've been doing since like 2010. Marijuana is still prevalent out here. I mean, yeah, we're battling heroin, battling meth, and the pills are still there, but marijuana is still there, and it just – it's all connected. It's all connected, and Chuck, it's all illegal. You know, even if Kentucky decides to do something, even the medical side, on the federal side of it, it's still illegal. So, you know, there's a lot to be thinking about what, you know, we've been battling this all of our career, you know, 32, 33 years we've been battling this. And marijuana has been prevalent out here on the streets that we've been battling to try to keep people from becoming addicted to the substance. And it's still something we're dealing with today.
And I always look at things like this, and Matt, you brought up the point, kids getting involved with this. And say, well, no, well, they won't be old enough to buy it. They won't be old enough to use it. Hey, I remember people I went to high school with talking about getting into daddy's liquor cabinet.
Right.
So, I mean, once you put more of it on the street, that means there's more of a chance that young people, children, are going to get their hands on it and use it. And I don't think anybody wants that.
That's right. Just more access, more, you know, and you hear they'll say, well, you know, but if we can get it where it's prescribed, do we have a prescription drug problem already in Kentucky? Certainly. So the fact that they prescribe it doesn't mean that people are still not going to have struggle. But to me, it's just another one of those stepping stones to cause addiction issues. Just another one. You know, you look in our state at the number of people already struggling with heroin addiction, pill addiction, even tobacco, people, you know, being addicted to nicotine, alcohol, so then you bring yet another substance in here. Like I said, we got just last week 10 pounds of medical marijuana out of California that look at the hoops they had to jump through to get that. So you bring that and legalize it in Kentucky, and how much easier it's going to be accessible. It's going to get way out of control, like it has, and Joe's hit on it numerous times. Talk to some of these. If you have any doubt, if you're what I believe, Chuck's our biggest issue and why it's becoming such a popular item and such a one item is because you see people on these talk shows who have young children who struggle with seizures or, you know, and I look at that and think, man, if that helped my kid, I know firsthand. I watched a parent struggle and be in pain and die of cancer. And I know firsthand that if I thought I could find something that would help my father's pain, hey, let's get him something. Let's try that. So I know when you see that kind of stuff. But so what I want to stress is that we're not saying that there's not medical value. There may be. I think there still needs to be. It's still not been even FDA approved. It's still not even been tested to even confirm that. You just have testimonials from people. And again, I'm not saying that those people who are giving those testimonials aren't, you know, obviously they've tried or somehow they've tried and it's helped. But let's find the right way to do it, not just like these other states. Let's don't jump on that bandwagon and say, hey, we'll have a pot store on every corner. We'll have it licensed so we won't have a dealer on every corner. But there's a better way to do it.
Again, we're on the front page today. We're talking with Rowan County Sheriff Matt Sparks and Chief Deputy Joe Klein about the legalization of marijuana, possibly in Kentucky, whether it be medical, recreational, or both. I'm Chuck Meraz. We'll go ahead and pause for a few seconds. Back after this.
There are many ways to connect with Morehead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Morehead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Welcome back to the front page. We're talking about the legalization or potential legalization of marijuana here in Kentucky, whether it be for medicinal purposes or recreational purposes or both. And we're discussing this topic with Rowan County Sheriff Matt Sparks and Chief Deputy Joe Klein. I'm Chuck Meraz. And the one thing that it strikes me as we sit here today, and you're talking about law enforcement's opinions on this, that's not an issue I read a lot about. I hear a lot about, whether it be, you know, through radio and TV elsewhere in the state or newspapers or whatever. Your side doesn't seem to be getting a whole lot of time.
That's right. And again, I go back and tell our listeners, why is that? Why is it? We all know how in this country, once the mainstream media or the powers that be have a plan or have an ideal, they sway things that direction. So I just ask, just do your homework. You know, don't just take because there's some politician waving this flag. And I'm glad you mentioned that, Chuck, because to me they go hand in hand. The medical marijuana goes hand in hand with the legalizing marijuana. Medical or not, if it passes, look at all the other states that have done it. That next thing's, if they pass it for medical use, not far behind will be, because you think about it, it's an easy read, right? It's an easy sell. Well, if we know this stuff's helped you medically, what's wrong with a little recreational use? It, one step follows the other.
Well, you mentioned that too. And I can remember I was watching a news program, and this is probably a couple of years back when Colorado first passed medicinal use of marijuana, and they went to a marijuana shop that had cropped up. And there were people wrapped around the building, and they stopped to talk to these two young ladies who were obviously college age. And the reporter said, "Oh, what are you using it for? What's your problem?" She goes, "Oh, we're not sick or anything like that. We just want to get high."
Exactly.
So the idea that, okay, so it's medicinal only, doesn't mean that people who want to use it for the wrong reason won't get their hands on it.
Exactly.
That's right. You know, in Colorado, it's what they're seeing now, and I think a little bit of news coverage was on there, is the number of homeless people that has just covered that area, and it's almost a crisis issue. What are they going to do with all the homeless people? And I talked to somebody that was in Oregon. They said Oregon's the same way. Said it was almost you'd walk down the street and you'd have to step over people because they had come there for the legalization of marijuana just so they could do that. And as the sheriff said, and I agree 100%, let everybody check this out. Check out what we're saying. The Kentucky Sheriff Association, the Kentucky Chiefs of Police Association, as the sheriff said, we're against it. We've made that known to the politicians in Frankfort. But our point in is that we just got to let people know there's another side to this story.
Do you think that despite your protests and your evidence that you could present to any legislator, anybody at the state level and any department, that with all the pressure there is right now to create revenue to meet all the needs this state has right now, whether it's prisons or Medicaid or education, that somehow this is eventually going to get shoved through?
Yeah, I feel it will. I mean, again, my personal opinion, there's just that much push behind it. There's that much, like you said, there's more bills filed in the last year or two than ever in the past. And yeah, I think that's where it's going. I'm just hoping the listeners out there will contact their legislators and say, hey, time out, back up. Let's rethink this a little bit. They need to contact their legislators and make them aware that yes, they, because we have a tendency in this country, Chuck, for people to remain quiet on something, and they may have to be strongly against something, but they don't say anything until after the fact, after it's too late. So I'd ask those listeners to contact your legislators, contact those elected officials, and say, hey, we don't know who you're hearing from, but we want you to hear from us too. Not saying that it can't be. There still needs to be some studies done.
I appreciate you coming over and joining me on Front Page to talk about this important issue.
Thanks for having us, Chuck.
Thank you, Chuck.
Again, our guests on the Front Page today, Rowan County Sheriff Matt Sparks, along with Chief Deputy Joe Klein. We've been talking about the potential legalization of marijuana here in Kentucky. I'm Chuck Morales, host of Front Page. See you next time.